because I've got the single, the brand new single from Mad Mix, Mick and Martin Noakes, who's produced it. I've got it here. I suppose I could play it now and get the guys on the line. Why not? That's what I'll do. Hang on then, as I reposition my cans. Martin Noakes and Mick, Mad Mix, they are known as. Mick is a rapper, he's a comedian, he's a very funny guy. They've had great success with previous releases. We'll talk about those in a minute. Here's the brand new release. It goes live tomorrow. It can be purchased tomorrow, it can be downloaded tomorrow. Here is LGBTQP. I've said this all wrong.
LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for?
What does the P in plus stand for? You know what it stands for. I know what it stands for. We know what they're trying to normalise. A load of drag queens weren't working in a club one night and then thinking, you know what? We're not earning enough money doing this. How are we going to earn more money? Oh, I know. Let's go around schools and libraries and read stories to children. Charge them £450 an hour. No, Jason, no. That is not what happened. I couldn't walk up to a school in my underwear and say I want to read to the kids.
They'd call the police. They'd have me arrested.
LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for? LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for? What's the P for?
Mr. Wren, I need to have a little word with you. I've seen the video footage. I've reviewed the evidence. You're not a police officer at all, are you? You are a butler.
I'm a butler. I'm a butler.
Why was you carrying the sex worker's bag yesterday?
You've been helpful.
This is the trans agenda that is coming down from on high. Our overlords have put it to our government have put it to our councils have put it to our libraries and our schools. It's polluting our kids. It's insidious.
I've seen pictures of these drag queens reading children with erections. They've got erections.
LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for? LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for? What's the P for?
This has to come down from on high. This isn't a group of sex workers decided to go into libraries. That would never happen. So they are being facilitated by powers that are greater than our government to allow this to happen. The paedophile satanic rulers are allowing this to happen. I can't forgive these people for the crimes they've done against the children. It's not saying I want to do. I didn't grow up wanting to spend my life chasing sex workers around libraries.
We work together, we fight together, we stand together. Shoulder to shoulder we do this. This one is for the children.
LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for? LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for? What's the P for?
Who was Jimmy Savile's best friend in the world? Who was that bishop, the one who got arrested and put in prison for paedophilia? Who was his best friend in the world? If you haven't realised by now what's been going on, then ain't nothing Mad Mick says is going to wake you up. I spent the whole of last summer at breaking point arguing with Antifa, arguing with the police on a daily basis. Every single day I've got Antifa in my face telling me that I'm homophobic. I said it's nothing to do with being homophobic.
I have no problem with what consenting adults choose to do in the privacy of their own home.
This has to do with the children. And they are bringing it into children's spaces, children's schools, children's libraries. And that's where I have the problem. We saw this as a man grooming children. People got arrested for calling the drag queen a paedophile.
LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for? LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for? What's the P for? LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for? LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for? LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for? LGBTQP. What's the P for?
Yeah, great stuff. LGBTQP. What's the P for? From Mad Mix. Mick and Martin Oakes are on the line to us now from Dan Seth. From Dan Seth.
Yeah.
It's the worst accent in the world ever. It's the worst Cockney accent. Mick, welcome back, pal. You're looking well.
Thank you.
And great
track.
It's been
a little bit hot down here in the south.
Yeah, it's bloody hot. It's bloody hot up here as well. I'm in a built-up area. It's very built up here in Salford. There's no escaping this bloody heat. That's outstanding. I should have mentioned, of course, you guys had massive and genuinely massive success with Killer COVID, which was the first time I met you, Mick. I've known Martin for many years. And then the monkeypox song was hilarious. This is funny, and the lyrics are very witty and very well written, but it's also deadly serious, isn't it, this subject?
It's absolutely deadly serious. And, you know, what it is I, when I deal with the police, I always use humour. I don't go in with aggression with the police. And that comes across in the song, because the beginning part is a real conversation between me and police officer David Wren, who was the actual guy who was carrying the drag queen's luggage. And they drove that drag queen around from library to library, and they carried his bags for him, you know, the whole thing. So the way that Martin put it into the song, it's an actual genuine conversation between me and the policeman.
It's brilliant. Let me be, look, you know I'll be the devil's advocate, right? But you can say whatever you want on this programme. The world is full of weird and wonderful characters. So what's the real harm of a drag queen sitting down in front of a bunch of kids and saying, right, kids, I'm going to read this story. It could be Adrian Mole. Remember that, Gobby, with today's reading Adrian Mole. Could be a Judy Blume book. It could be Jack and the Beanstalk. Drag queens exist, and kids will eventually see drag queens. So why are we concerned about that?
Absolutely, Richie. What it is, a lot of people have said that to me, you know, people in my family, people all around. It's the beginning of something. It's the start of something. Oh, it's just a guy reading to children. Well, yeah, it's not just a guy. I mean, it's not Madame Doubtfire, is it? It's not... you know, the Australian one,
Dame Edna.
Dame Edna Everage. Yeah. It's nothing like that, is it? We're talking about a highly sexualized act from people who earn their living as female impersonators in adult entertainment, in nightclubs, you know, and it's become popular with, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race and stuff like that. I get that. I get that they're putting it into the mainstream. But the reality is, we're talking about adult entertainment. And if you go further through on our video on YouTube, I think you've seen the video, it turns into something that is nothing less than child abuse. The man with the plastic breasts, he's wearing a thong. They're putting money into his G-string, and he's walking around holding a three-year-old's hand. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
That's shocking stuff, that, isn't it? Because you make a good point there. In some instances, it isn't a drag queen who's wearing, I don't know, like the costumes they wore in Little Britain. So when Matt Lucas and David Walliams were in drag in Little Britain, they had very long dresses with petticoats and stuff like that. They looked like throwbacks from an Emily Bronte novel, maybe, or Jane Austen. But in the video that you've put together, and it's an excellent video, yeah, it's something a lot more sinister than just, well, drag queens are real, it's on the telly, let's have a drag queen read a story. No, it is hyper-sexualised. I've got to concede that point. Are you surprised, Martin? You jump in anytime you want, pal, by the way, Martin Noakes, our great friend Martin. Many years, Martin set up the conversation with Whitley Strieber a few weeks ago, which went down really well with our listeners, and we're very grateful for that. Are you amazed, Mick, that parents seem, in many cases, so completely unperturbed by it? It's like, yeah, it's all right. Why are more parents not concerned by what the kids are seeing?
This is what became the problem for us last year. When we started the protests at the libraries, it was the parents that were the biggest problem, because they're taking this 2-3-year-old child into a situation where they have no idea. Their parents are taking them. They believe they're safe. They believe they're protected. And it's because the parents want to be oh so woke and oh so inclusive, you know. And when their child comes home from school now, you was talking about it earlier, they've moved this agenda into the schools, right, where they can tell children that they can be anything they want to be. You know, now that in the olden days when me and you was at school, that was any job we wanted to do, not literally anything we want to be. We can be a cat, we can be a Furby, we can be a man, a woman, a donkey, you know. And when kids come home slightly confused because they've heard this at school, these woke parents, they jump on it and they're like, oh, I've got a trans child. My child identifies as it instead of they or whatever. It's the parents that are the problem, and it's been driving us crazy for the whole, you know, the year since this, over a year now since we started. We first did the protest last year, you remember?
Yeah, and yeah.
It's been the parents that have always been the biggest problem. These poor children, and now it's coming to the schools. You've obviously seen the bill. They've passed it in schools that children must be subjected. I was reading the bill the other day that went through the Scottish Parliament. Children must be subjected to a variation of genders. a variation of gender. What on earth does that mean? There's, if you go for gender reassignment, they only offer you two choices, male to female or female to male. So where are all these 30-odd genders coming from? I have no idea.
Yeah, they've said they need to be presented with all of these possibilities, which, again, it's so bizarre, it's almost kind of unreal. As for the parents, you make a very good point there. I suppose when I was 12 or 13, if I'd have said at the dinner table, Mum, I think I'm a girl, you're not, shut up and eat your broccoli. And that would have been the end of it, right? And I've seen a meme like that. I've actually plagiarised a meme there. But that's exactly what would have happened. But it's not so... I think you're right about the... We need to be seen to be woke. But I think underlying that is a sense of fear. I think some parents are worried that if they say anything, that it might lead to them having a visit from a social worker. And I believe this has happened to parents who've said, listen, my child shouldn't be listening to that. And a social worker has turned up to make sure that everything is right at home. So there is that too. That must be a terrible place to be in. You know your kids being subjected to terrible propaganda in school that might be harmful, but you think to yourself, well, if I speak out, I might lose my child.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is what is so petrifying. The school are telling the children things and they're telling them not to tell their parents. If the parents question it, like you just said, the social services are all over it. It's a no-win situation for a lot of people. And I've been saying for a time now, you know, the only safe way is to take your children out of education and educate them at home. But like you said, if you do that, then they're going to say, all right, why? What is it? Is it our sex education agenda? Is it our trans agenda? What's your problem? And then the social services are involved anyway. So it's a really tricky situation.
Not to mention, most parents are working, aren't they, Mick? So most parents, both members of the partnership, the husband and wife or partners, they're working in any case because the cost of living these days is astronomical. So you've got this issue as well. Martin, I've never asked you about your own kids, but Martin, you have children. They're a bit older now than when I worked with you at the People's Voice, but you were never short. You were never found wanting when it came to standing up to schools and to teachers and to head teachers. But do you think it would be as easy now as it was back then? I mean, when you stood up to, you know, silliness in schools and draconian rules. I mean, do you think it would be as easy for you today as it was back then to stand up for the kids? You've still got very young kids, right?
No, not anymore.
Not 19, so young.
19 and 21.
Yeah, yeah. They were like 10, 11, 12 when I knew you.
What I think would be difficult now more than the school thing, actually, is trying not to vaccinate them. My children are completely unvaccinated. And I think there's a lot more pressure to do that kind of thing now. It's much harder to not do that, I would say. But yeah, in general, I would say the schools, you know, if you can afford to homeschool your children, it's the best option, definitely. If you can do it without the social services getting involved, I would say.
Let me read you this, Martin. This is from Sarah. I work in a senior school. There is a young girl identifying as a cat. She wears cat ears on her head and meows in class. Why is the education system allowing this to Sarah? Now, I don't know Sarah. This has come through my app, so I don't even have an email address. It's just a comment. So Sarah, don't be offended. You kind of have to take this at face value or take it with a pinch of salt. Could it be the case that kids are saying I'm a cat now and the teachers are saying, okay, you're a cat? Because if that's true, that's worrying, right?
As long as they give them a litter tray.
Right. And a can of whiskers.
They have to accept anything that the child comes up with. And in one way, as far as the children are concerned, it's genius because they can completely mess around with the school. Identify as a donkey one day, a cat another day. Identify as a grown adult, so I don't need to be in school. You know, they can completely play with the teachers. And this stupid woke society that we live in don't know how to deal with it. So I think, like, you know, it's up to the kids now to take that on board and run with it. Say, all right, if you want to be this stupid, we can be this stupid. If you want to play this game, we'll play this game with you. You know, because I know if this was about when I was a child, I would have rinsed it to heaven. You know, any class I didn't like, yeah, I'd have identified as something else. Now, you know, if it's half price on the train for children. When I get on a train, I identify as a child. You prove that I don't, you know, and it's just the ridiculous world we live in.
It can't degenerate to that level, can it? Where grown adults can claim to be children trapped in an adult's body. I mean, surely it won't extrapolate out to such utter lunacy.
I have seen, Richie, I have actually seen grown men identifying as babies.
The adult baby thing. But that's been a sexual fetish for years, hasn't it? The adult baby thing.
But they're moving these sexual fetishes into the mainstream. The woke community are making that like it's acceptable. It's not acceptable. And it's not acceptable around our children. And so for people in general can exploit the stupid wokeness of it, then they will have to realise how ridiculous it is. Because, like you said, we can identify as anything we want. Like the man who turned up and he did it to prove a point, full beard. He turned up for a woman's strongman competition, a powerlifting competition, won the gold medal. He said, I identify as a woman. There was nothing they could do. They had to enter him. He won the gold medal, took the prize off of the woman, and then said, oh, I identify as a bloke again now. What could they do? That's the stupid woke world we live in.
There seems to be a little bit of a pushback against it in recent months, doesn't there? Not just here, but in Ireland as well. There's some genuine pushback against it. Like the rowing authorities have said, no, you can't compete with the women. We're seeing the swimming, you know, bodies, the governing bodies of some of these sports coming out and saying, no, that's got to be positive then. Maybe they've pushed it too far, Mick. What do you reckon? The people behind that agenda.
That's exactly what I was hoping, that they would push it too far, that people would realise. Like, the world's strongest man is a woman. The world's strongest woman is a man. The fastest swimmer, the female swimmer, is a bloke. People have got to realise the ridiculousness of the world that we're living in. And maybe you've spoken about it before. I've spoken about it quite a lot. Maybe it's all just a distraction whilst they do some, you know, dodgy underhand stuff going on that we're not talking about because we're caught up talking about this. But from my perspective, trying to defend the children is the only thing that is important to me at the moment. All the rest of the stuff, their smart cities and all that, I get it. I'm fighting that as well. I'm fighting all that, the digital currency, all that. But it's the children.
But this is the most urgent, is it? Let me read you this comment from Jenny. Jenny says, last week, a mother in Britain, I did read this story myself in the Guardian, funnily enough. I'm not a Guardian reader before you start screaming at me. I read all the papers. But Jenny says, a mother in Britain who went to court was refused the right to know what was being taught to her child in sex education lessons. If it's all so worthy and so innocent, asks Jenny, why would that be the case? That's quite extraordinary, because when I was in high school, secondary school, if one of my parents went to the school to ask for lesson plans, they would have been given the lesson plans at the speed of light. The parent is in charge, or the parent was in charge, and the parent had final say. But Jenny's right, I read that story. The school basically told the mum, you can go and sing for the sex education materials, we don't have to show you, and she had to suck it up. That's quite amazing, really, isn't it? That the parent wouldn't have the right to see what's being said to the child, or hear.
It is. It's crazy. And, you know, I've heard, I don't know how true this is, but I've heard that they're saying that you can't take your child out of a sex education lesson. You know, you can't opt out of a lesson. And I'm like, wow, that is ridiculous. Back in the olden days, you could opt out of RE, you could opt out of this, you could opt out of that. But now they're saying you can't opt out of a lesson. So the only thing that you can do is on whatever day that the sex education lesson is, you keep your child home that day. And then you have the truancy people all over you and the social services
asking
again
you for money.
Yeah, Mark, it's a no-win situation. And I'm very glad that my three children are all grown up. But my four grandchildren are about to enter this world.
And this is the reason, Mick, because I asked you this before, this is the reason why this is so important for you, right? Because people will be saying, why is this guy, this funny guy, this rapper, why is he so interested in this? Well, you got grandkids. Martin, imagine a scenario. You can't homeschool. You can't hide the children under the staircase. They've got to go, even though you know that what they are hearing and seeing is harmful. Is there any way, don't laugh at this, but is there any way to deprogram? Is there a possibility for parents who can't stop their kids or can't prevent their kids hearing this? Is there a way to deprogram the kids when they come home to say, listen, son, or listen, daughter, I know you're hearing some mad stuff in school now about genders and all that, but listen, listen to your mum, right? Let me tell you. Is that a possibility for some parents?
I'm not sure that that is, actually. I think once you've... a quick story here. When my children were at school, my eldest child, we took her out of the sex education lesson because what happened was they said that the school said we could see this DVD if we wanted to see what was on it. So I took it home the day before the lesson. And there was real people in there acting their parts about relationships, etc. That was okay. But then there were animation bits in there that were basically pornography. If you had two humans doing it, what they were doing, it would be pornography. So we pulled her out of that lesson. And my wife got quite heated up about it and phoned up the council and said, look, what's going on here? This is completely inappropriate. And we discovered, and I don't know if it's the same today, I presume it is, there is no censorship whatsoever in schools. They can show them they could actually show them a pornographic movie if they wanted to.
That's crazy. The sarcastic window cleaner on the Richie Allen Show website says, I love this, if a child in school is identifying as a cat, ask to see her lunch, and if it isn't cat food, confiscate it. That could kill you. It's like chocolate with dogs, isn't it? It could kill you, absolutely. Busy asks, can't we all move to Ireland and identify as a Ukrainian refugee? Because refugees are to be offered modular homes, and those who move into the homes will have to pay a utility charge of 40 euro to cover electricity, internet and waste disposal. That's a bloody good deal, that, isn't it? For a month, 40 quid, get a house, electricity, internet and waste. Well, this is an allegation made by Busy. I don't know if this is true or not, but I do know that Ireland has a more, if it's possible, an even more open door migrant policy than most countries here in Europe. But it is... You know, we laugh at it, but it's a horrible reality to know that children who probably should be instructed in arithmetic, basic arithmetic, and instructed in reading and writing, and if they want to learn a foreign language, we'll do some French, we'll do some German, we'll do some Spanish. That's about the fundamentals, Mick. When I went to primary school in Waterford City in 1979, and even high school, it was the basics. I mean, there was none of this. We learned about the birds and the bees in biology lessons when I was 15. Now, of course, we knew. It's ridiculous. We knew anyway. But they gave us all the, you know, the scientific terms, the gametes and all this nonsense, right? And here you go. But it's just horrible to think, like, that you might be in that situation trying to protect your child from listening to that stuff. And I have no prejudices against anybody. Trans men, trans women, none. I don't have a single prejudicial bone in my body. Gay, lesbian men and women, absolutely not. Like, I mean, talk about these things with kids, but when they're, you know, old enough to understand it, when they're 14, 15, 16, when they're old enough to understand it, but when they're like 5, 6, 7 years of age, you used the term earlier, Mick, it's emotive, but I think it's appropriate. I think it's fair. It is child abuse.
I believe so. I'll tell you a quick story. I'm the youngest of four children, and I have three older sisters. I grew up in a very effeminate... My dad was at work 24/7, so I had my mum and my three older sisters. I grew up in that very feminine world, and I used to wear my sisters' clothes to school. I had their hand-me-down uniforms. When I became a teenager, we had Boy George, we had Marilyn, people like that. I spent a lot of years like cross-dressing effectively, but as a fashion statement, you know, like when I went out to a club, I looked more like Marilyn than I did anyone else, you know?
Now, that shows your age there, by the way.
Yeah.
Invoking the name of Marilyn. Holy Jesus, Mick. We're talking early 80s. We're talking gender bender, Boy George, Marilyn.
Absolutely.
Well done.
And we survived it, Richie. We survived it, you know? And all my mates survived it, and we didn't have to go to school and be told we could be or do anything we want. We made those decisions ourselves. You know, I chose what to wear because I thought it looked good, you know, and I've been married, had children. I'm not gay by any stretch of the imagination, but I liked dressing that way. And if a kid at school gets to 15, 16 and decides they want to dress a certain way, that's their business. Starting ramming it down the throat of toddlers at these drag queen story hours, which are becoming less of a drag queen story hour and more of a burlesque show, is just insidious and wrong, you know? And Yes, of course they're going to watch it when they go home and they watch, well, Top of the Pops ain't on anymore. But that's where we were subjected to that kind of stuff. But now being subjected to it in your own classroom as a government policy, you know, it's not like the local council. It's come down from governmental level that this must go on in schools. We thought it was bad enough in libraries, but now it must go on in schools. It's just the most ridiculous world we're living in now.
A gay and friend of mine, Mick. Sorry to interrupt. A gay friend of mine put it really well, I thought. He said, the thing that's really disturbing about this is, he says, right, is the level of kind of mind and thought control going on there. You're getting a bunch of children and you have no idea how they will feel about sexuality when they get older. You know, most people will grow up and they will not have a problem with being in a world where some people are gay, some people are trans. Most kids will grow up, despite what they might hear at home, they won't hold any prejudices. They'll just say live and let live. And my gay friend said, this is the most insidious part of this. They're drumming into children. You must think this way about this. You must think this way. There's only one way to think. This is it. It's all settled. And that's terribly wrong, like, you know, because like we said, most kids will grow up, they won't have an issue with how people choose to live or how people are, how they are coupled, whether they are gay or straight, in any case. But getting into their minds and telling them. And of course, that's ultimately not just meant to be about sexuality. It's meant to be about everything, isn't it? It's like the climate change thing. Climate change is real. It's killing everybody and will kill everybody, and you can't think any other way about it. That's the problem here.
You know what? I'm going to go full conspiracy mode. This is MK Ultra for the masses. They did it. They started it in 2020. We saw it in real time in 2020. This is pure mind control, MK Ultra. And for someone to have the power, for people to have the power to say, right, all local councils have got to agree with this. All local schools have got to agree with this. Every school. And if you don't agree with it, you're going to be punished or sanctioned in some way. You know, this is, they're taking MK Ultra to a next level. We thought it was bad enough when we hear all the conspiracy stories. But this is real and it's in our schools. And we saw it from 2020 and it's not getting any better. It's not that there's a few of us that can see through the lie. But the people that can't see through the lie, the people, like I said at the beginning of the hour, when the parents that are taking their kids to these shows because it's oh so woke and oh so inclusive, the mind control has worked on these people so effectively, come down through the BBC, through the newspapers, through every medium, that social media, TikTok, everywhere they look, they're being
bombarded.
This stuff.
They're being bombarded. Martin, there's a brilliant comment from Kasia here. She says, it might be a stupid question. Kasia, there is no such thing as a stupid question. This is a good point. But she says, there are Catholic schools in the UK. Are there Muslim schools too? As the Muslim faith, I would imagine, would not tolerate sex education classes to be given to kids. Personally, I would consider this option if it was the case. That's an excellent comment. And she's shamed me, Kasia, because... Yeah, is that an option, Martin, for parents who are concerned about this, that they can choose a faith school where the kids may not be hearing this stuff?
I'm not sure. That's out of my area because we didn't go to a faith school. I really don't know whether that would work. It's a good possibility, I suppose. But if you're not going to that faith school, you've got to move to that faith school. And it's very difficult to get into schools in heavily populated areas, isn't it? They're all kind of full up.
Yeah, because I have interviewed Christians on the program who represent certain Christian groups, and they're obviously very much against this particular relationship and sex education curriculum. And yeah, it's something I should have thought of myself. But I think you're right, Martin. I have read that faith schools, particularly Christian faith schools, are very highly sought after. In fact, you've got this weird and wonderful kind of a situation where in some Catholic schools you'll find some children whose parents might be Sikh, whose parents might be Muslim, and they're in the school because the school has got a very high Ofsted rating, ironically. And presumably when religious studies happens, those kids are excluded from those lessons and then they just go back for maths or they go back for English. So yeah, I think I have read this before. It's difficult. It's almost like trying to get into, I don't know, Harvard University, trying to get your kid into a a Catholic or a Christian school. But it's a good point by Kasia in any case. Yeah, Mick, I think you made a very good point there about MK Ultra. It's an assault on so many different fronts. And not to move away from sex education. By the way, we have Mad Mix on the programme. Martin and Mick. The new single is LGBTQP. What does the P stand for? Played it a minute ago. And just because it's the guys, we'll play out with it later on. And it's on sale tomorrow. Where can people get it before I make my next point that I want you to come in on? Where can people get it tomorrow?
From tomorrow, it's on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, all of them.
It'll be on all of them. I'll put a link on Mick's website, which is madmixconspiracies.co.uk.
Brilliant. madmixconspiracies.co.uk. People should bookmark that. Because Killer COVID did really well, didn't it?
Yeah, got to number 26. Yeah. 26. Brilliant. In the national download chart before they realised what it was.
And then they booed it.
They realised what it was. They deleted it completely.
Isn't it funny? Now, listen, this is not about me. I'm going to get shot down for saying this. But one of my biggest mistakes in recent years was to brag about the iTunes charts for podcasts. I shouldn't have done it, really. And I didn't do it to brag, because I'm not much of a bragger, really. But it was just nice that, you know, the show was in the top 30 and it was beating people like Ian Dale on LBC and stuff like that. Of course, I was delighted with this. And I just wanted to say to the listeners, you know, well done, like. But of course, as soon as I started singing about that, all of a sudden it was down at 300. I'm like, you bastards.
You could've... That's what they do.
You know, they're bastards, yeah.
This is our eighth song together, and every single one, after the first one, every single one, the censorship has been relentless. It's been mental. Our last one we did, which was Killer COVID Part 2, Killer Vaccine, when we uploaded it to YouTube, the channel got deleted before the song even went live.
Yeah.
So it never saw the light of day on YouTube. But so we started a new YouTube channel for this song. And so far, we've got a couple of thousand views, and it's still there. But usually, when we reach big numbers in the views on YouTube, then they delete the whole channel. So the censorship on Martin's work is just relentless. They're shutting us down at every angle. But we did get to number one on the Amazon download chart. We was at number one for nearly a week. So, you know, before they noticed who we were.
It's a fantastic achievement, that. And to be fair to both of you, I know that censorship that you've experienced is genuine. You're absolutely right to say that. And you managed to keep a really positive outlook and a pretty good attitude about it. You kind of laugh at it, really, rather than get wound up by it, because I suppose it's inevitable. Let me read some quick messages coming in. Scottish Al says, it's gone too far now, this bullshit. Teach children how to read and write and some mathematics. A tyrannical government doesn't want an educated, free-thinking population, as they are far harder to control and manipulate. And that's a good question, is a good point, because like we talk about fear and how fear transforms people. Martin, if you want to come in on this, the climate stuff they're giving to children, that must be... I tried to articulate this earlier on in the show and I made a complete balls of it because I can't articulate it. But because I can't imagine. I mean, I remember being scared as a child at something that wasn't really scary, because children are so impressionable. You know, they're telling children that if you don't convince mum and dad to change the error of their ways, we're heading for climate apocalypse. That must be having an amazing effect on children's minds, Martin. And yeah. I suppose we go ahead, Martin. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And there's an awful lot else going on with our young children today as well. But I remember when I was at school, two things actually. I was taught in environmental studies that we were going to run out of oil, we were going to run out of gas. I was also, you know, all the different things that were going to happen were terrible. And also I remember being absolutely petrified when I was 15 because I thought there was going to be a nuclear war. Wow. Yeah, they were saying it was in the papers, there was going to be atomic weapons going off and all sorts of things. So this is not new. They've been doing it forever.
That's a good point, that we, yeah, I'm pretty sure we were given a drill in primary school about the madness of it, getting under the table.
Yeah, you know, we did that.
Yeah, a nuclear bomb is going to drop right in the middle of Waterford City, and you'll be okay if you pull your desk over you. Well, like we laugh now, but yeah, I don't remember, but I must have been terrified of it. You must have been thinking, "Wow, what's going to happen?" I mean, they did it after September the 11th. I don't know if you know this, But after September the 11th, they sent iodine tablets around to people's homes in Ireland. Would you believe that?
Wow, didn't know that.
Iodine tablets, yeah, because presumably some crazed Muslim terror cell was going to somehow commandeer a nuclear weapon, and rather than bring it to the White House, they were going to drop it in Connemara, you know? This is the crap that went on. And I was party to some of this crap back in the day, but yeah, it is funny. Do you think can I ask you this, both of you? Do you think you're getting through? Again, not to be negative, I had this conversation with Kevin earlier on, you know, but do you think you are getting through to people? Are you having successes when you're meeting people?
I had this exact conversation today, Richie. You know, because of the success of Killer COVID, we reached more people than all the videos I make on my Telegram channel every day, you know, and we got that message out. But because of the censorship, this message, this song, I believe, we both believe actually, that it's the most important one we've done. And it's pointless us playing it, like even us coming on here, everyone who listens to you knows what we know. Everyone who listens to my channel, all the other radio interviews I'm going to be doing, they know what we know. David Icke put it on his channel. They already know what we know. We need this to get into the mainstream. We need this to hit the news headlines. You know, even if they say far-right extremist anti-vaxxer is saying don't groom children, you know, on the BBC, I'll take that. I'll take that. We need to get the message out onto the mainstream, because everyone in our community, the channels we listen to, already know what we know.
That's a great point, Mick. I like this. Let me read you some comments on this. This is really interesting. Diane won't believe this when I say this. Diane, I have your number. I will be in touch to get you back on the show soon. Diane is a transsexual woman. So Diane had the surgery some years ago. Has been on the show. Really interesting lady is Diane. And she says, Richie, do you remember when sex change was called sex reassignment surgery? Note, assignment. Think about that. Now it's gender reassignment surgery, they're calling it. Something changed. You have to ask why. Words matter, as we know, says Diane. This is a psyop. And Craig says, in the 1920s, the liberal excesses of a small minority drove the mainly conservative populations towards the fascist / communist parties. And it should not be forgotten that the fascistic religions were also waiting in the wings. It strikes me that we are at risk of repeating the same through exactly the same manipulations. It is just another Orwellian tactic. It is, and you talked earlier on, Mick, about distraction. And this is a paradox, of course, because this stuff is meant to distract us while massive agendas are rolling forward. But you can't ignore it because they're destroying the minds of children. So you can't just say, right, they're distracting us with all this stuff about kids in school while behind the shadows they're doing something else. Yes, that might be true, but you can't just ignore what they're doing to children to go and focus on, as you said earlier, Mick, the Great Reset, climate change, cashless society. It's deadly serious. I think, ironically, didn't Jesus prioritise children? If Jesus did live, if Jesus did exist, Jesus put children above all else, didn't he? As far as I understand, and my basic understanding of the Bible. Yeah, go ahead, Mick.
No, that's right. That is where my mind is at the moment. If I can't fight every battle on every front at the same time. I've tried. I can't do it. But this battle for the children, we're calling it, is the most important one. And I just want to say quickly, if there are any proceeds from the song, none of the proceeds that any of our songs have ever made has gone to me and Martin. If there is any proceeds for this song, it's going to a charity that was created by a girl who was at every protest last year, called Alison. And the charity is called Child Trauma International. And it's for to support children victims of child abuse, satanic ritual child abuse, all manner of child abuse, to be fair. But Alison spent her entire life fostering children, looking after victims of child abuse. So I'm supporting her charity. Both me and Martin, we think it's a great idea to support her charity. She was with us at the libraries last year. You know, she's a very strong, very powerful woman. She actually got in the library. We wanted to use the video on our song. She got into the library. She got in front of ADH and it went viral. And then the security assaulted her. They threw her out. but she actually got in there and we got some great footage. Unfortunately, it was too grainy to use in the video. But she's a wonderful woman and she works incredibly hard for the victims of satanic ritual abuse and child abuse. So I thought I'd just want to get that in there. That's where any proceeds are going to.
Sounds brilliant. Tell you what we'll do. We're nearly there, so we'll wrap it up for today so I can read a couple of more comments and then I'll close out the programme with the song, which is LGBTQP. What does the P stand for? It's the brand new single from Mad Mix. You've been listening to Mick and Martin Oakes. Mick, give us the website again, madmixconspiracies.co.uk. madmixconspiracies.co.uk. I'll put that in the podcast notes anyway, but you know, more than some of our listeners will know who you are and what you're doing with the success of the other songs. So just congratulations on it. It's a fantastic cause, raising awareness about what's happening in schools, what children are being subjected to. So I can't say well done enough. So great stuff, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on.
It's an honour. Martin, thanks again, buddy.
Thanks, Richie.
And bye for now. Martin Oakes and Mick, Mad Mix, the song, which I'll play in a minute, which I'll finish with, is LGBTQP. What does the P stand for? It's available tomorrow. You'll get it on Spotify. You'll get it on iTunes, Mick said. And thanks to him for that. Wayne says, schools in Scotland have been sent the following brochure from their education authority. On page 5, it talks about instilling an anti-racist consciousness in children's minds. They're not even hiding anymore, says Wayne, that they see their job as moulding minds. Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's what my gay pal said. Some children will grow up to hold certain ideas and prejudices that we might disagree with. But let them. That's the variety of life, isn't it? Isn't that the spice of life? I've interviewed people on this programme, including this evening. Kevin. Kevin is a Muslim. Kevin has a very definite point of view about homosexuality. But by holding that point of view, it hasn't harmed or hurt or erased gay and lesbian men and women, has it? No. Most people will grow up, regardless of what they hear in their home, to be a pretty tolerant, pretty decent, naturally inclusive person that doesn't mind, doesn't care about the sexuality of their colleagues or of their friends. They'll just get on with it. It's what we always did, right? But interfering and intervening and claiming that there is a problem before there's any evidence of any problem, well, of course, it's about a much bigger agenda. And a number of people have been on the internet, excuse me, on the website this evening to say, Richie, it's about depopulation and other things. Johnny reckons that the awake used to be a minority. He says, does Johnny, we are now a bigger minority, and that's better. It's growing and growing and growing, the numbers of people who see through these agendas. Thank you so much for that, Johnny. I really appreciate that. And Kat says, is it pan, as in pansexual? Brilliant song. I love it, says Kat. Thank you, Kat. And Holly came back on to say, on nuclear explosions, it's worth reminding kids, though, that if they see the brightest flash, don't run to the window. Hit the deck. Cover your eyes and ears. They'll probably be fine as long as they don't run to the window to watch and get skewered by broken glass. That's really interesting. I'm pretty sure we had a nuclear weapon or nuclear Holocaust drill when I was in primary school. Now, I'm willing to concede that I might be fantasizing about this because I've seen so many documentaries about it, about what happened to kids in the 1950s in the States particularly and in the UK, you know, drills in case of a nuclear war. But I'm absolutely sure that in one of our classes in St. Saviour's National School in Ballybeg in Waterford, I'm pretty sure we did have one of these drills. Quite ridiculous when you think about it, you know. Get under the table. And all the rest of it. Anyway, yeah. Thank you for all your messages today. I really appreciate them. Dean has been in touch. Richie, Mick is a straight-talking realist who is trying to increase awareness for everyone. Both he and Martin are doing something about it. We need genuine people like this to fight for the future generations of children. Hats off to them both, says Dean. Thank you for that lovely message, Dean. I'm sure the guys will appreciate that. madmixconspiracies.co.uk. Lots and lots and lots of messages came in. I need to turn off this bloody... You can probably hear a bit of hissing. I've turned on an old laptop. I squeeze every bit of life out of my laptops before I consign them to the local tip. I get every bit of life. I'm using a laptop at the moment. The fan is completely gone. It's irreplaceable. It can't be replaced. So it's shutting down intermittently because it's too hot. And I've had it about 6 years, this laptop. Hayden tells me you normally get about 4 years out of a laptop of continual or continuous use. You can hear it there hissing in the background, yeah. Anyway, listen, I'm about to take my leave of you. We will chat again maybe on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Sunday Morning Melodies. Now, if you don't like Sunday Morning Melodies, I'll talk to you on Monday. Sunday Morning Melodies isn't everybody's cup of tea, as it were. But it's a really easy listening show, completely relaxing gig. I play a few old tunes. There are some interesting stories attached to some of those tunes. I read out your requests and it's cool and the gang. Right? Sunday morning, 10 o'clock UK time on the usual channels. Listen via my website or the Richie Allen Show app or listen at Fab Radio 2 at fabradiointernational.com. You can also listen on the TuneIn app. Yeah, it's been an interesting week. We've had some great guests on the programme and a top phone in last night. So thanks to everybody who phoned in last evening. Right, so we'll close out then with the single. I said we would. LGBTQP. What does the P stand for? Mad Mix, Martin and Mick. Have a fantastic weekend. And do try to join me on Sunday for Sunday Morning Melodies. I hope you do.
LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's the P for?
What does the P in plus stand for? You know what it stands for. I know what it stands for. We know what they're trying to normalise. A load of drag queens weren't working in a club one night and then thinking, you know what, we're not earning enough money doing this. How are we going to earn more money? Oh, I know, let's go around schools and libraries and read stories to children. Charge them £450 an hour. No, guys, no, that is not what happened. I couldn't walk up to a school in my underwear and say I want to read to the kids.
They'd call the police, they'd have me arrested.
LGBTQP, what's the P for? What's the P for? LGBTQP, what's the P for? What's the P for? What's the P for?
Mr. Wren, I need to have a little word with you. I've seen the video footage, I've reviewed the evidence. You're not a police officer at all, are you? You are a butler.
I'm a butler. I'm a butler. I'm a butler.
Why was you carrying the sex worker's bag yesterday?
You're being helpful.
This is the trans agenda that is coming down from on high. Our overlords have put it to our government have put it to our councils have put it to our libraries and our schools. It's polluting our kids. It's insidious.
I've seen pictures of these drag queens reading children with erections. They've got erections.
LGBTQP, what's the P for? What's the P for? LGBTQP, what's the P for? What's the P for? What's the P for?
This has to come down from on high. This isn't a group of sex workers decided to go into libraries. That would never happen. So they are being facilitated by powers that are greater than our government to allow this to happen. The paedophile satanic rulers are allowing this to happen. I can't forgive these people for the crimes they've done against the children. It's not saying I want to do. I didn't grow up wanting to spend my life chasing sex workers around libraries.
We work together, we fight together, we stand together. Shoulder to shoulder we do this. This one is for the children.
LGBTQP, what's the P for? What's the P for? LGBTQP, what's the P for? What's the P for? What's the P for?
Who was Jimmy Savile's best friend in the world? Who was that bishop, the one who got arrested and put in prison for paedophilia? Who was his best friend in the world? If you haven't realised by now what's been going on, then ain't nothing Mad Mick says is going to wake you up. I spent the whole of last summer at Breaking Point arguing with Antifa, arguing with the police on a daily basis. Every single day I've got Antifa in my face telling me that I'm homophobic. I said it's nothing to do with being homophobic.
I have no problem with what consenting adults choose to do in the privacy of their own home.
This has to do with the children. And they are bringing it into children's spaces, children's schools, children's libraries. And that's where I have the problem. We saw this as a man grooming children. People got arrested for calling the drag queen a paedophile.
LGBTQP. What's the P for? What's